We're going to start today with a conversation Rich recorded earlier with John O'Hurley, who needs no introduction, and they'll be talking about the National Dog Show and other things.
John, getting ready for the great tradition that has become the National Dog Show, Thanksgiving Day, you and David Fry, and by my count, this is your 19th year of doing it?
Bingo. Yes, you're one of the few people that got that chronology correct. It has been 19 years, believe it or not, and this is probably the most unusual of them.
Well, certainly everything is very different this year, most of all the fact that you won't have an audience there watching the show. How does that change things for you and David?
Well, it not as much. Granted, we love the adrenaline rush of having 10,000 to 15,000 people there, but this actually will be the first time that David and I will not be there as well. We will be hosting the show from our homes. What does that mean? It means that this will be the first year I actually have Thanksgiving dinner with my family.
Wow, and maybe your dogs can be right there with you watching the action.
Exactly. They will make an appearance.
I understand some new breeds this year. What can you tell me about the, hope I get it pronounced right, the Belgian Lacanois?
The Belgian Lacanois is one of the four herding breeds of the Belgian variety of dogs, but it's also a wonderful dog for the military and police and search and rescue applications as well. Then we have the Barbet, which is a beautiful little curly-haired black French hunting dog. And then lastly, a large Mastiff-style working dog called the Dogo Argentino.
Now, I thought Dogo Argentino was a successful middleweight fighter back in the 60s.
Probably is.
Well, last year was so much fun. We always love to cheer for, pun intended, the underdog, and it was great to see Thor the Bulldog come through last year.
And nobody was more surprised to win than Thor himself. If you remember that big leap that he made, and his handler toppled over, and it was just a wonderful act of spontaneity. But it underscores the fact that any dog can have its day, and this year particularly, because it's difficult to spotlight which dog could be favored, because in order to be an entry in this year's show, you have to have been a breed champion, a champion actually in the breed, and that's quite difficult to do. You have to have a number, that assembling a certain number of championship points. So we have the best of the best this year. We've gone from 2,000 dogs down to about 600 dogs. So you're going to be seeing the champions of the champions.
We're talking with John O'Hurley, the annual National Dog Show from the Kennel Club of Philadelphia, coming up at noon Eastern time on NBC television. You can get it through streaming as well. John, you've been doing this for so long, and you get in normal years, you get to meet the dogs and talk to the handlers. Do the dogs have any sense of what's going on around them? Obviously, they know there are crowds there and there's excitement, but what do they think of the whole proceeding?
Well, dogs are neither controversial nor competitive, but they do enjoy the adrenaline rush of being around the people that they love and doing the things that they're supposed to do in the hands of their handlers and their trainers and their owners. So it's a wonderfully enjoyable day for them, and they get a few great sniffs in addition to that, and certainly a handful of treats constantly in the ring as you see them being baited by their handlers. But it's a wonderful day for them, and it celebrates the rich history of dog breeding that goes on for 10,000 years, all the way back to the time when our knuckles still scraped the ground. We had, dogs were there alongside us to help us survive, actually. Very few dogs were pets back then. We didn't have that luxury.
But it, from what I'm reading, too, it seems like we have seen this year with everybody dealing with a pandemic, a lot of dog adoptions this year, people adding to the family and keeping things close to the vest. And so perhaps more new dogs in new homes will be watching the National Dog Show this year.
We certainly can make a case for that, can't we? Fewer people will be entertaining in the degree that they would normally do in any other year. So many people are home alone, and they've chosen to add a dog to their companion. Now, the caveat that we add to that is to make sure that you assume the responsibility of being a lifelong owner rather than as a trial sport, because we don't want these dogs ending up back in the shelter because people go back to work and they chose a dog that didn't fit their lifestyle.
Well, I think we need this year's dog show more than ever this year, given the times that we're living through. And you've made this such a successful program and such a great holiday tradition. Do you ever step back and analyze what it is that has made this work so well?
Well, it is unusual, but I think it is one of the great pieces of television programming. On the great family day of the year, I think people are looking for something that brings them all together. And whether you're 4 or you're 94 and you have the remote in your hand, if you pass by the National Dog Show, you're going to stop. There's something about the close-ups on those little puppy faces that seems to people find very compelling. And it just seems to be something that everybody can watch and smile about. Football at 2, dogs until 2.
We've talked with you many times about Seinfeld through the years. Is there one episode that people tend to ask you about more than any other?
Oh, I think the time when I was parodying the Apocalypse Now episode when I'm off in the cave in Burma trying to find myself. I think there's something about that was just the most, that and maybe the wedding cake episode. I think, the Burma, heading off to Burma. You may know it as Myanmar, but it'll always be Burma to me.
I know production has been spotty at best, given the times we're in right now, but have you got any other projects, any films in the works?
I've been lucky enough to be so busy. I have an awful lot of recording from both from animation and also from endorsement clients that I have. So a lot of voiceover stuff. I have done a little bit of taping. There hasn't been too much. Hollywood still hasn't woken up yet from its long distended nap, and I don't know when that's going to happen. A lot of things are just being pushed back, and pushed back. So we'll see. And also for live theater too. I have been sad. I was hoping to be back on Broadway by now, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen for a while with the resurgence of cases in New York City. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I have an awful lot of fun with probably something that you and I haven't talked about. They have this platform now called Cameo.com.
Oh, wonderful. Are you doing Cameo? That's great.
I am doing the Cameos, and I'll tell you what I'm doing on the Cameos has kind of developed a niche market because I'm doing the Peterman monologues that I write for anniversaries, for retirements, and I'm having an awful lot of fun with those. They're the wacky stories of the wit, the wisdom, and the travels of Jay Peterman, kind of wound around a little message of congratulations or best wishes or happy anniversary.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, check that out at cameo.com. Well, John, we thank you so much. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving, and you and your family do well. Stay safe, and always appreciate you making time for us.
You bet, my friend. Good to talk to you.